You guys ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
let's pray.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lord, I thank you for
Javier and Jennifer. Thank you for Antonella as well. Thank you for the whole family. Thank you for their time here in the Bible College and how you are preparing them, working in their lives. I pray that right now we could relax and we could have some time of sharing how you have been at work in their lives and what you've done. And we could just share together and it would be a blessing to us and a blessing to others. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
All right. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing okay?
Yes.
All right. Should I talk slow?
Mm-hmm.
A slow good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Okay. And if you need me to translate for you, or you need Jen to translate, it'll be okay. Or if you need me to translate for you,
okay,
it'll be okay. We can do Spanglish. Spanglish is okay.
Okay.
So we're in Easter week right now. So it feels a little different. The students aren't working here, but you guys have been at work.
Yeah.
Where have you guys been at work this week so far?
So we are part, like it's a part of the practical ministry in the seminary. We are in the church, in the local church. The local church is Getsemani. During this week, we're going to make a different activities to... it's in two ways. One is try to involve the church in the different activities. And another one is the people come with another friends. Mm. And in this land, we can preach and share the gospel for the new persons on our church.
So you're at work in your local church, which is named Getsemani.
Getsemani.
Yes. Who's the pastor?
Camilo.
Pastor Camilo.
Del Valle. Who also was a student here.
Yeah.
And was working in the media department before I got
here. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So are all the students in local churches right now? Or no?
No. I think we have five teams. They are outside to the United States.
Yeah, in Mexico.
And then
there are five teams in Mexico?
Mm-hmm. In different parts.
Reynosa.
Puebla, Nuevo León. I don't remember the other cities, but five teams are outside, and another teams they are like. For example, in our team, we are five in our church, but we have a three student for different part
from another church.
From another churches
working with us,
And they are with us.
Uh-huh, yeah. Exactly.
This week.
Just
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
What's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to this week? What do you think will be the most exciting part this week? You?
Well, on Thursday we're going to have walking through the Bible.
Wait a second. That is not. Hold on one second.
Okay.
I don't know why this is showing up, but it's not good, maybe?
Refreshing.
Okay, it's still recording. Never mind, we're good.
Okay. So tomorrow we're going to have the... in the seminar here, we have a class that it calls Walk Through the Bible. Mm. Okay? So we're going to present that tomorrow in the church. Mm. Yes.
Tomorrow?
So, yeah, Thursday. Tomorrow is Thursday at night, well, at 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Will this be for the whole church, like everyone?
Yes.
Everyone
we invite, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so walk through the Bible means like we will see like in 3 hours, 2 hours and a half about all of the stories and everything about all of the Old Testament. And also we share the gospel. For example, when we talk about the Passover, we share the gospel in different histories. So we will do that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the Old Testament?
Yes, just the Old Testament.
I mean, for tomorrow, just Old Testament. But we can do the same, the two classes.
Okay. So
the New Testament, the Old Testament.
But tomorrow will be just the Old Testament because it's around 2 hours and a half. So it's long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very nice because it's something that we learn exactly here in a class. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I know Professor Tim
Blake
is pretty passionate.
Yeah.
That's like his ministry.
Yes.
So basically, it's teaching people how to teach the story of the Bible
exactly
in a way that people can understand and remember.
In the beginning, it's just to learn. Mm-hmm. And then the people can be a teacher for the class. But yes, in the four signs.
Signs, yeah. Ademanes, signs.
You can remember the whole Testament.
The whole 40.
Old Testament.
Yes.
Like 40. You can do the whole Old Testament.
Yes.
Have you done the New Testament with him?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. How many signs for the New Testament?
It's 40. 40.
40.
Uh-huh. 40 and 40. Uh-huh. But it's very nice because you explain the history and then you make a sign. Uh-huh. It's a señal, right? Like a sign?
Yeah, a sign.
Okay.
Or motion.
Uh-huh, yeah, exactly. So, and because people remember like more when you see something, when you learn with your hands.
Visual.
Exactly, like visual.
So you hear it and see it.
Okay. Exactly.
So we would maybe see four hand motions and 40 hand motions, 40 signs. So what are like the first five signs of the Old Testament?
So it's creation.
Creation.
Yeah, you world. Like a world, exactly. Okay. And then is la caída.
The fall.
Okay. Yes. And then el diluvio.
Flood.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And naciones.
Nations.
The nations. Exactly.
With Abraham.
Yeah.
The Lord says in chapter 12, the promise. You remember it?
Is the promise. Through you I will bless all the nations.
All the nations.
Uh-huh. All the nations will be blessed. Okay.
But in the naciones it's about the Torre de Babel.
The nations are
Exactly. What you're talking about is the next that you talk about Abraham and then Isaac.
Abraham. Their own signs.
So it is very interesting because you learn in that way and in that way you remember the story.
So you're going to do that for the church?
Yes, for the church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it specifically you two or the team of students will all do it together?
We just a student. It's Javier, Blanca, Samuel, and me.
Ah, okay.
So we, all of us
are taking.
We're taking that class, and Javier already took that.
How many people you hope will be there?
I'm not sure. Yesterday I talked with Pastor Camilo, and he said I invited in the church, but I mean it's a little different because. The kids don't have a class during the afternoon because it's early.
It would be at 5 p.m.
But the kids, they don't have a vacation for the Holy
Week.
They just have a Friday and Monday, next Monday. But yeah, we expect, I don't know, he is not sure about how many people come.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you guys going to celebrate Easter together with the church? Like on Sunday, Saturday, Sunday?
Actually, yes, but they'd have a little change because this Sunday we're going to make a share about the resurrection, but the big party I think is the next week.
Oh.
Because the church is part of the big organization and they celebrate the April 7th is baptism day,
uh-huh.
El Día de Bautismo.
Okay.
So this is a big party for the old activities because we can make disciples. So this day we're going to have a big party and baptism and dinner and lunch. And they have they're going to celebrate like an anniversary for the church.
Okay.
So they put together for the next week.
This
church is your guys' local church, like the practical ministry church throughout the whole semester, not just during Easter week.
No.
It's for the whole semester.
Now, Javi, you're working in the practical ministry department now.
Yes, sir.
So you know about, that's how you know where the teams are. Okay, we should introduce you guys a little bit. Okay, so what's your full name?
My full name is...
Oh, it's a little Edgar, long.
Edgar Francisco Javier Rodriguez Martinez.
Okay. Edgar Francisco Javier, which is what we call you, Javier, Rodriguez.
Martinez. My father is Rodriguez. My mom is Martinez.
So you got three first names. And then two last names.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Jen, what's your full name?
My name is Jennifer Vanessa Rivas.
Rivas.
Yes.
Jennifer Vanessa Rivas.
Yeah. Well, Rivas Rodriguez.
Okay.
Well, here in the States, it's just Rivas.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And where are you guys from?
I'm from El Salvador. I was born in the capital, is the San Salvador.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you remember what year was it that we first met?
I think it's
2017.
Uh-huh. 17, probably.
Because
yes.
I was pregnant with Santiago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it was 2017.
Yeah. And we met in El Salvador.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I drop off you.
That's yeah. Oh, no, you picked me up at the airport,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, uh-huh. Yes. At the airport. I didn't know you, but our friend Julio Peña, he said, hey, you can pick up a friend. Is it Billy Jackson? And I said, yes. And I drove in I think you use a paper or something like that. Or I think the another guy, he know you. He knew you. Is the name...
Was it Walter or something like
no,
that?
No, it's not. Aaron. Yeah, well, yeah.
He was with you already.
Yes.
Okay, I was like...
And so he said, hey, Billy.
Were you just looking for like the...
yeah, no, it's Aaron.
Okay,
Aaron. He with me in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And was...
All right, and you guys were already married at that time?
Yeah.
But I never met you at that time.
No.
Okay.
Well, I saw you in the wedding. Exactly. They were taking pictures, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 That was my... I still only had one semester of Spanish.
I don't think
I spoke like any Spanish.
That's terrible for you, I think.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. It was really fun, though. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was a good experience. Okay, and then Jen, where were you born?
I was born in Nevada, in Reno, Nevada. But and then when I was like 1 or 2 years, I went to El Salvador, where my family went to El Salvador, and we started living there. And I lived there for all of my life. And then I just come here to study and
Okay, so you, from 1 year old, you grew up in El Salvador,
mm-hmm.
but you were born in the United States.
Yes.
Okay, I think people...
So I feel Salvadorian.
I think people would want to understand, like, how does that work? That happens with different people.
But yeah.
Like, what made it that you were here, your family was here, and then moved back to El Salvador?
The thing is that in El Salvador, we had a war. A civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that it lasts like 12 years, mm-hmm. something like that.
Oh, wow.
So in that time, my family emigrated to the States.
Mm.
So and it was a little easier because when that happens, the United States were like more, they like to help those kind of country, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why my family come here. But my grandmother, but I'm talking about two generations
ago.
Okay.
Yeah, in the
two
back.
Two generations back.
Back, exactly mm-hmm. back. So my grandmother, my grandmother's sisters come here.
Mm.
Yes. So in that, it was like the 80s. So and then my mother come and my mother lives here like, for 8 years, something like that.
Okay.
So that's why I was born here.
So your grandmother came?
No, my grandmother didn't come. My grandmother's sisters.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. So my grandmother sent my mom.
So like yeah. be safe?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then the Civil War stopped at some point?
Yes.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. your family decided to go back?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. That's why I was born here.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
In 1982, some people the wars stopped, and a lot of people they back to El Salvador, mm. a lot of families, they return and another stay here in different parts.
Yes.
That's interesting. So, yeah, it is interesting that in general, it seems like in the United States, if the more there is a problem with another country, the easier it is for those people to come to the United States. Like, a few years ago, I guess it's several years back, but like, if a country has more problems, then sometimes it is easier to get asylum or to get refugee status. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
There are more open doors.
Yes. Yeah.
And then if the country is more stable, it is sometimes harder to immigrate.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So how did you guys meet?
We were like 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
15 years old? Okay.
We were 15 years old.
Yeah. 14.
No, 15. Yeah. 14, 15. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 14, I grew 15. Up with my daddy, my father. But I visited my mother in another neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So my mom lived, one home and another home. And a house. In another house is my father.
My parents. My mother,
Her parents. So they live close to. So I visited her, my mom during the different weekend, for example. So I saw her. She passed in front of me and my friends.
In the
car, yes, because she never stay in a house just all the day,
because we just go to my house just to sleep, because all of the time we were with my grandmother's neighbor. House. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So during the night, I saw the car pass in front of me, and I saw her. My cousin and my brothers, they know her, but I didn't know I never met her. Mm-hmm. So one day we make a conversation and my cousin says, I think we have a meeting, family meeting or neighborhood meeting. And we start the conversation.
But like on the street or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just walking around or just, okay. And so you start talking together.
But 2 years later, I think, her cousin, Marcela, she said, hey, I want to introduce you,
told my cousin that I want to meet him. Mm-hmm. So my cousin said, okay. And she said, okay, I'm going to introduce you, introduce him to you, right? Uh-huh. Okay, I said, okay. So, and then we start talking, but then we start serving in the same church. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh,
exactly.
Okay, first off, like your brothers and cousins knew her and her cousins knew you.
Because his brothers lives in his mother's house. So in the same street.
And
that's why
you guys want to meet each other?
Because I like him.
But just from seeing him. What made you think, like, hey, I want to get to meet
him? I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, I was like 15 years, okay? So I was like...
Okay. So then you ended up in the same church.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Exactly. We start going.
How many years later did you get married? How many years later?
On that moment...
Like 8?
Yeah,
10 years later.
Later.
So you guys waited a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is sometimes normal for some reason.
It's not that normal.
Normally you get married faster.
Yes.
Well, not faster. Not too fast.
Not 9 years. Yeah. I mean, in our case.
Well, I mean, if you are 15, that makes sense.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
In our case, so we're talking, and I think we start
dating, but we never thought about that we will get married. No, okay. No. Yeah.
I think 3 years.
What made you change? When did you say, okay, we're going to get married?
I think when I was to the university.
Yeah, when we were like 22. Yes. Because at the beginning, it was just
when we started the university, I think, and you pre your life, and you say, okay, I'm going to study this, and okay, why not? We can make a... Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. In this podcast, sometimes we like to talk about hard things too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And as much as possible, I want to have it be very open. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you guys are free to not talk about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
It sounds like, just from a little bit that I'm hearing, that both of you were growing up in homes that we would call, like in our context, like broken homes, like broken families. Mm-hmm. And that's something more and more common in the United States. Mm. But in recent years, it's kind of like, why is this happening? But looking at some other countries' context, looking at Latin America, hearing your guys, it's like, is it normal, not normal? Like, how do you guys see it? Just thinking, not just about your families, maybe explain your families, but also, like, are all your friends like that? Is that just normal? And how do you think that affects your culture?
Mm-hmm.
I guess thinking small, but also thinking big, because I see it happening more and more in our country. And to me, it feels like, okay, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so then going to some places where it just feels like this is just how it is, how mm-hmm. life is. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
Yeah. Because we have a ministry in El Salvador. It's a sport ministry. The name is Fútbol y Palabra. And we see a different cases about
football
this.
Football and palabra would be like soccer and word.
Gospel.
In the word. Gospel. Soccer and gospel, maybe?
Soccer and the gospel. All right. That's good.
So, and we see a different situation for the kids and for the youth people. And I identify, for me, my case, for example, my parents, they separate when I was 6 months, I think, 6 and 8 months. I was a newborn, but they decide to move in different ways. So my mom make another home and my father make another home. So it's a different things. They are very young. They have 18 years when being a parent. So it's difficult for them. But I identify one problem is it's make the same
Like a cycle.
Mm-hmm. So the same cycle and the next generation for boys and girls. So this is a hard part because sometimes I saw in the beginning and I try to make advice for the people and say, hey, it's probably that you repeat the cycle because your parents made this decision and it's probably you can make the same. And they said, no, that's my case. But in the time, it's exactly mm-hmm. the same. So okay. This is, I think, the most difficult part. They affect their life because they decide it is not consciente. It's not like...
conscious. It's not consciously.
It's just walk.
Mm-hmm.
And when they discover, they are in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the most difficult part because then is a financial troubles or family troubles or they can't make a strong decision. For example, for make a family, I have a different friend. They have a kids in with the different women because
mm-hmm.
they can't make a stable or yes. They can stay in the decision.
Mm-hmm.
They need to move. They move mm-hmm. to move and repeat the cycle. I think this is the big part.
So what was your family situation like, Jen?
Well, in our case, it was a little different because for me, for example, I remember when I was a little. I always think about getting married and having kids because that is what I saw all of my life. I mean, my mom and my I have two brothers and me were three, And I have been like seeing that all of my life. So that's why I was thinking about getting married. Well, first study, because that is the first thing my mom, okay, you need to graduate from the university. And then if you want, you can get married and all of things. So I that's why we wait like 8 years, because we decided to, okay, we first graduated and then we get married. So, and when I graduated and then we get married and then he graduated. So, in my case was like that, right? But as Javier says, that is true in El Salvador, that happens a lot. Most of the time it's because of the age, for example. We can see like people who are 18, 17 having kids, and it's hard to have a kid. I mean, it of course, they are like beautiful and something, but you know that you need to be passionate. You need to be like different things. And that happens too. So in my case, it was like that. I always think about getting married and all of that thing because I see my mom and my dad and my brothers.
So for you, you had a good example to follow.
Exactly.
And you knew to wait for something and then to be serious and committing. But on the other hand, there's a cycle of not committing, just seeing if it'll work and then going different ways. Okay.
You know what? This is the difficult part for a lot of people, is they don't have a visible person, like example for life. And this is the important, the parents stay with the children.
We would say a role model, right?
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
It is the important part for the parent is stay in front of the kids, because they can model a different make decision. Another thing is the pastors. So for ours, we are pastors in the ministry. And we make models, or we have a time for the share with the people and try to get through the Bible and says, okay, this is the Bible says about the marriage, about the sons, about the fathers. So I think it's important. And sometimes in our country and in some areas, the people doesn't have a models. So they doesn't have examples.
For someone who's stuck in a cycle of bad relationships, and the generation, like their sons, it continues, what would you say is their best hope for breaking that cycle and beginning a healthy life?
In my case, I think we try to make focus in the those examples, or try to found a mentors in this way. So my father's was example for me in different ways. But for example, for work, for studies, he was focused on different things and was a good example for me. But about the marriage, for example. So I never see him, I never saw him in a wedding. So, because I didn't see, and it's not an example for me. And I see another people has a wedding, and I say, okay, I like this marriage. I like this couple. I try to talking about this and what is the best way to, I need to break the circle or cycle. And it's a challenge because I need to learn new things in my life and try to take it out the chip and says, okay, this chip doesn't work, the dysfunctional family. So I need to put another, is a family like a Christian family or like a Bible says. So I think it's un desaprender. I don't know. It's
unlearn.
Unlearn. And learn.
Like whatever you have already learned that doesn't work, you need to unlearn it.
Yes. Exactly. Okay, yeah. This is the big challenge to be new decisions.
What something happened with the camera.
Oh. also, I don't know why this program keeps coming on. Okay, let's take a pause.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Billy Jackson here. This is our podcast, Entre Hermanos, and that means Between Brothers. We want the brothers and sisters of Christ hearing the stories of what God is doing to prepare future pastors and missionaries for His church. That's what we're trying to do. So if you enjoy the stories, share this podcast with others and have so that they can hear what God is doing around the world. And we hope that to grow and get better in telling these stories, and we hope that you will be able to enjoy them and praise the Lord for what he is doing.
There we go. All right. So how are you guys feeling so far with the English?
Good.
You're doing good.
Too. Yeah. Doing good. Okay. I just say that.
I said, don't say it because I'm going to be nervous again.
You can't mess up when you're with friends. You can't go wrong. Okay, I'm gonna have a cookie. You guys can have a cookie.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think we should go in a new direction. We have limited time, right?
Yes.
We have lots we could talk about. For example, your testimonies of salvation, how you came to know Christ, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I think there might be other things to talk about too. When you guys got married, you were both Christians already.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we're learning. Uh-huh. We're learning the different roles that you need to be like a Christian. Because mm-hmm. sometimes, I mean, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I have a 20 years be a Christian, mm-hmm. but I keep and learn. Uh-huh. So, uh-huh.
But were you committed to follow Christ when you got married?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you remember at any point when you were planning on getting married or after you got married that you guys committed together, this is going to be a Christian family? This is going to be a family that's following Jesus? Or was that just always understood like, well, yeah, we're Christians. We're going to be following Jesus. What was that like for you two when you were first mm-hmm. committing to each other, you know, getting married?
I think that when we decided to get married, we understood that we would be a Christian family because we went to the same church, serving the same church, and like we were doing like we were leaders in the church. So it was like we just like understood that would happen.
We were already leading in the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that something that maybe. It was different is because Javier wanted to be a pastor mm-hmm. since the beginning. So, and to be a pastor is like, it's something different, right? Like the normal things, like you work and do the different things. So, and I remember that when we decided to get married, he said that he wanted to be a pastor. Mm. So, and if I agree with that, so
he told you before you got married.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. good.
Yes.
Another conversation. How did you?
Yeah. What?
How did you know to tell her? Like, hey, this is what I want to do.
I think the I'm studying theology in El Salvador, and I think in the one class the teacher talk about that. Mm. You need to be sincerely with the family, with the wife, and different things. And I said, okay, so this is the opportunity. I understand what is the possible way is like a pastor life. Mm. And this conversation I made with her, and I said, okay, I want to be a pastor. And this is probably a different situation. And I talking about the money, I talking about the job, I talking about my schedule. And I mean, and this is just was a big photo, but in the way I think it's a big photo. I mean,
a big photo.
I mean, a picture.
Uh huh.
I present a picture
like this is what it might be like.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Can be a pastor. It's a schedule, money. Yeah.
Very
so
busy.
So, but
what did you think about that?
It was a little hard. Because, as I said, I grew up with my mom and dad, but my mom, it was a very businesswoman. Mm-hmm. In all of my family, it's like that. My mom and my grandmother. And I remember when I was a child, they had a little company. So, and they, it was like It was like a business, like making clothes, making something like that in El Salvador. So I remember that I saw them like working. And also I remember that I worked when I was very little and I earned my own money. And so that was a little hard because I studied business in the university. So I always think about, okay, having a good job, like money and a house and like a normal family. Okay. So, and at the beginning, it was a little hard because it was like, okay, it's not like that I was thinking before, because I will think about have a big house and okay. So, but also I like to serve in the church. Mm. Okay. When we started to serve in everything. So I said, okay, it will work. I mean, I didn't think like, when he said that, when we come here to the seminary, I mean, our mind changed a lot, okay? But in that time, I remember that at the beginning it was hard, but at the same time I say, yes, okay, let's do it. Mm. Because he said, okay, I will be a pastor. And they said, okay, he can be a pastor and I will continue like doing the same thing, just serving in the church, but no like all the time, like serving to God, right? Mm. So, yeah, that happened.
I think we learned together. I learned about her and her family, mm. and she learned about me and different things I made it. So, for example, I talked with my mother-in-law, and it's interesting because my father-in-law. He's a
accountant.
And my mother-in-law, she's a business administration. Mm-hmm. So it's like exactly
okay.
Think.
Okay.
Yes.
And
you come by your administration skills.
Yes. Yes.
And I learn about that. Mm. And make a budget in your home and a schedule. So different things. It's nice for me. I learn about that. But I share about the faith, about you need to believe, you need to believe in faith.
Faith.
A lot of faith.
Mm. Faith. Uh-huh.
And so, and I said, for example, we want to be, for example, now 2 weeks ago, we received a pickup truck in El Salvador for the ministry. Mm. I mean, we work make this, wow. But it's in faith, everything. Mm.
How long have you been here?
Four years.
This is our three. I mean, they will be our
last year.
Last year. Exactly. So we are three.
And even while you're here, the ministry in El Salvador is still going.
Yeah.
Yes.
And someone donated a pickup truck. When you were not there.
It was
one organization. He put out the big donation
uh-huh. amount,
but mm-hmm. we make different activities uh-huh. in person.
To raise money.
And fun. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I saw the pickup truck, I think, 10 years ago, and my vision. And now it's a real reality. And I share this. Okay, this okay. And they she said, okay, it's a faith. Mm. And, you know, now be a missionary, you need walk and believe in faith. Mm. So it's... we work with the budget, with the vision, with the schedule, but...
Also fate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Lake is a beautiful fusion in this.
Mm-hmm. Fusion. Nice. Yes. Good word. Mm-hmm. Man, you speak tons of English.
What I are
you
try talking to. About?
You speak so much English. It's been. Okay, I'll give you a pronunciation tip right now. The only one for the whole time, okay? Uh-huh. So when you say faith, you make it faith.
Like thought.
You know what? This is one of the difficult part for pronounce the
mm-hmm. because in Spanish
we don't have
it's all just a T.
Uh-huh, exactly.
But if you say fate without the, if it's just fate, how would you translate fate?
I don't know.
Lo que es predeterminado. Oh. Like your fate. It's gonna happen. You cannot change it. This is your fate.
Como el destino? Como
destino.
El destino.
Uh-huh. Fate is destino.
Uh-huh.
Faith is faith.
Faith.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Yeah. All right. There's your English tip for today. Okay. So we know already that you guys came together. You are determined to follow the Lord. You were wise in having the conversation before getting married. Like, okay, maybe we're not going to be rich, mm-hmm. but we want to serve the Lord mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the rest of our time, okay, we have one more. There we go. I want to talk about your guys' journey together. And if that involves little parts from before, that's great. But that, I think I want to talk about the journey together. What has been the highs and the lows of what God has brought you two together in this journey? How long have you been married now?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years. That's yes. good.
I know.
One decade of experience.
Yes.
Actually, our marriage, day marriage, is like the same, like you, the same year, the same month.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that
in
I
October,
told you? Yeah. No, we're in December. You're in October.
December. Okay. Okay.
Yes. And the same year.
The same year.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So you've started a ministry. Mm-hmm. You've moved to another country. You have Antonella. Mm-hmm. So you have a child. So what would you say are some of the best things that you guys have lived through together and some of the worst things that you guys have lived through together? Like if you had to make a list of, I don't know, like two or three things.
I think that something that I want to mention is like when we decided to serve God, it was in his part, it was like 100%, okay? But in my part, it was not the 100%.
Were you still thinking, I will work in the church, but I'll also have a business or work somehow?
Yeah, I was working in a company in El Salvador that when I graduated, the company offered me a job about administration. Mm. So, and I started working a lot, like 10 hours a day.
Wow.
So,
for how long?
Like 3 years, maybe.
That's a long time.
So, and the thing is that I really love the business things.
And that was right at the beginning.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was at the beginning when we get married. So when we started, it was a little hard because for me, it was okay. I can serve, but I will continue working. Mm. But of course, I spend more time like working, okay? Mm. But it was a little hard because I know that we needed to pay things and all of the things, right? Because we already got married and we already live alone and something like that. And also, I really love my job. Mm. So, and it was a little hard to say, okay, I will not like working in that like that, okay? Because I really love my job and I just graduated and it was, in our country, it's in Latin America, I think, in El Salvador, happens that you study in the university and sometimes you graduated and you don't find a job about what are you studying.
Uh-huh.
It's not like the States, okay? Because
you graduate, but sometimes whatever you graduated in, you never get to use that.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't have experience.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't have experience. Opening. Exactly. So, but in El Salvador happens a lot. I mean, it's incredible the percentage of people who studied something and they don't work because maybe they have a job in their area, but not like, they can get more money in another kind of job, for example. Mm-hmm. So, and in that way, when I graduated and they offered me something that I really like and it was about my area, I said, okay, yeah, this is my time, right? So, and I started working a lot and then I feel that I wanted to serve God, but I said, okay, yeah, but I need to make money, no? Mm. So, and I decided to make like money. Mm. And it was like that. I mean, it was. So, and I remember that something that changed our lives a lot, it was when we decided to have a baby. Mm. And we say, it was hard for me because I said, okay, to have a baby means that I will not work, I will not do this and this. So it was like, okay. And I remember that he said, okay, when are we going to have a baby? I said, okay, just let me think and I will, okay. Mm. And like 3 years later, we got married. I said, okay, it's our time. And we decided to have a baby. And we said, okay, and everything was perfect. And it's a little hard for companies because when a woman have a baby, the company says, okay, you cannot work.
Like...
Exactly. You cannot work as a man, for example. Mm-hmm. So, and that happened to me in that company. So, and I think that that is something that changed our lives a lot because God used that to change my mind. I mean, because I just remembered that when we just said, okay, we're pregnant, we were very happy. And my family was so happy because it was, well, in the part of my family, it would be like the baby of the family because the last baby was like 12 years. Okay. So everybody was very excited. And also, Javier family, there were more babies, but no Javier babies, right? So, and everybody was happy, but something changed our lives when we have the ultrasounds, and they say that the baby had something. It has, the baby didn't have, riñones?
Doesn't have kidneys.
Exactly.
Kidneys. Oh, kidneys.
Yes, exactly. So when that happened, like everything changed. Mm. I mean, in that time, I think that God showed me that it's not about money. Mm. It's not about working. It's not about doing everything about, I mean, there is something more. Okay. So, and I think that God used to show me, and I think maybe Javier too, that it's more, I mean, it's something else in life. Mm. And that happened, well, in the States, that happened a lot. That people think about, like, okay, we need to work, we need to make money because our kids need this. But at the end of the life, the it's time materials. is matter, right? So well, I think that's changed my mind. And okay, and in that time, I said, okay, I will stop working like that. Okay, because I remember that I worked like 10 hours a day. And the thing is that I was the person who was in charge of that area. So we have goals. We need to sell more. We need to do this. And there were some days that I have to work more than 10 hours. So it was a little hard. And God changed my life. But incredible.
What kind of business was it?
It was
English education. Language.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were in the administration.
Yes.
Okay. So something that happens, I think, in both of our cultures is that some like money becomes the goal, and sometimes even children are in the way or the obstacle. Sometimes they are the reason, like we want money for them.
Yeah.
But sometimes even if we are saying it's for them, we treat them like they're in the way.
Yeah.
So it sounds like God did something something very hard happened in your life, but losing a life made you realize how invaluable life was. Mm-hmm. That life is more valuable than money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, even in our home, we struggle with that sometimes, that we know that the children are important, but sometimes we act like they are in the way of what mm-hmm. we want to do or what we're trying to get done. So what happened next with the baby, and then after you didn't go back to work?
I can share this part.
Okay.
No, and in our case, I think I don't know what is the plan from God about this baby. We lose the baby. This that time we talk about March and April.
It was April.
Uh-huh. April, yeah, and we discovered the kid is like sick or I don't know. And
the name of the illness is syndrome de Potter. Syndrome of Potter.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the name of the illness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So 2 months later to this, the company, he basically make a plan for putting outside to the way mm-hmm. Jennifer. So the company.
The company where I was working, they said, okay, because they knew about everything, uh-huh. okay? So, and they decided that I was not going to be, like, able to handle everything. Mm-hmm. So they decided to say, okay, they moved to another area well, they were trying to say, okay, the next year you can go to another country and working with, because the company had like in different countries. So, and they tried me to show, I mean, they offered me something that they know that I was going to say no. Okay. I mean, to say, okay, I'm.
What's another opportunity?
Exactly. Like to quit or something like that.
Another form to say.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Say what I'll say.
You don't need to keep working here.
Exactly, but they don't want to say that they don't need me, right?
So during this time, we don't know exactly what is the reason God sent us this situation, but we learned a different lesson about that.
Yes.
In this context, we said, okay, this lesson is for me. This lesson is for her. For example, one part for me is that I can, in this moment, I saw a different parents. They have comportamientos, behavior mm-hmm. with their children. Mm. And I say, hey, I really want my baby, and you waste the time, and you fight, and you make a violence, and you different things with your children. Mm. So God sent me to love more people, more children, more kids. Then they have a parent, but the parents, they doesn't have the work and the family and the house. Mm-hmm. So we preach, we share the love of God, and it was a lesson. For example, I learned that what is the most important thing is not the materials. It's the most important thing is the life, the people, is to follow Jesus. Is to be a pursuit in our life, and we try to follow him and be obeyed. So I think it's the question is that what is the most thing and the bad things. Mm. I think it's, this activity is todo en uno. It's all in
all
one.
Together. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's connected. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's the high lesson or classroom. And we learn different things, but it's the hard situation. I think, and so for example, he worked at 10 hours per day.
Jin was working 10 hours per day.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, and then the company says,
you're gone now.
That's it. Uh-huh. And we learn and we enjoy the life during the... I mean, because after we discovered this situation, we visited a lot of doctors.
Yes.
And tried to find another opinion, yeah. and second opinion. But every people says, nope. Huh. So... In El Salvador is prohibited.
Okay.
But in this case it's no abortion. It's just he is sick, so you can remove. Like, but the doctor says no, it's abortion. Mm. So what I need to do?
But we didn't want to.
No. We just ask. No. Just mm-hmm. ask. What is the process? Mm-hmm. And the doctor says you need to wait. Mm. Wait what? Wait die or wait for leave?
Okay, the doctor gave us like some panorama, some
options.
Okay, that something can happen. Well, I remember that I was 18 years pregnant, 18 months. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. 18 months weeks.
No, weeks.
18 weeks.
Okay.
18 weeks pregnant. So, and we went to do ultrasounds because we wanted to know if the baby will be a girl or a boy. Because my mom and my father-in-law, they were going to have their birthdays. So we wanted to give like a surprise. It were going to be a girl or a boy. Mm-hmm. And in that ultrasound, we discovered that the baby was sick mm-hmm. because the first 18 weeks, everything was perfect. Mm. I mean, we just sounds the heart and everything was normal. Wow. So, and in that ultrasound, we discovered that. And then the doctor says, okay, the possibility is that first you can have you can lose the baby like right away. I mean, you go to the bathroom and you just pee and then there will be the baby, okay? Because it was too small because it was 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. The second one is that you can have the baby and the baby can die inside of you. Mm-hmm. But it depends because if the baby is too big, it will be a normal labor, okay? Mm-hmm. And the other one is that you can have the baby and the baby can live. But when they cut the cordón umbilical, mm-hmm. I don't know how to say it.
Umbilical cord.
Okay, so when they cut that, the baby will die mm-hmm. because the baby is alive because it's connected to you. So there were the possibilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. there were no like, okay, so, and but the doctor says, okay, but the thing is that the baby is alive right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the baby hear you. The baby knows when you are sad, when you are happy. So the baby is alive.
Wow.
It's not, I mean, the baby is there. Mm-hmm. So when she say that, we said, okay. So God decided to give us a baby like that. So we need to love him mm-hmm. or love her because we didn't know it was a girl or boy. Mm-hmm. So we need to love him or her as the time that God decided to give us, okay? Mm. So, and we start, like, praying.
Our prayer was...
tomándonos de la mano de Dios.
I remember that our prayer was, we going to love the life. Mm. The life. So, we vamos a amar la vida. Mm-hmm. So...
Exactly.
This is our prayer. So, the baby is alive. So, we're going to love...
Exactly.
And we love the will of God. And then the moment, if God wants to make a miracle and the baby born and grew and everything, it's nice. We're going to love. But
yes.
if God says, nope, so it's fine. We're going to love God and the baby.
Yeah. I remember that we decided to love him or her, but... I mean, for me, it was very hard because mm-hmm. I have in me, and the baby was 8 months. I mean, I was like a my stomach was like not so big because mm-hmm. the thing is that it didn't have líquido amniótico, amniotic liquid, mm-hmm. because the los riñones,
the kidneys were not processed.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So... but it was the first weeks. It was very hard because I remember that I went to the bathroom and I said, "Okay, Javier, let's go and see if something happens." Because for me, it was very hard. But and then the baby started growing, and I said, "Okay, we never stopped."
Nos dimos por vencidos.
Exactly. Like maybe
we
God
give up.
Exactly. Like maybe God can make a miracle. Mm-hmm. But also
we for the miracle.
Exactly. But also we understood that the willing of God is not the same as us. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I remember that we start reading Job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all of the pregnancy we start like reading the mm-hmm. book of Job. Mm-hmm. And we can understand that sometimes that is a big problem that we have. Mm. That we come and we pray to God that something that we want to happen. Mm-hmm. And when the things don't happen, we get angry because God didn't make them happen. But the thing is that is not the willing of God. Mm. So and in that time we decided, we said, okay, we're gonna pray for the willing of God. Mm. I mean, of course, we wanted that God healed the baby and all of that. But all of the time we said, okay, we are praying for the willing of God. Mm. And we try to make that with our family, too. And say, okay, the willing of God is the best thing. Mm. Okay, so if he wants to give us a baby, okay, perfect. But if he doesn't want, it's okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that helped us. I mean, to understand that it's not about us. It's about God. Yeah.
And I think this is the first moment, and for the honor to the time, I just want to share the second situation. There is the big and the
high and the low.
It's Antonella. our baby now. And Antonella was the different situation, completely different. I mean, for the first baby, we visited a lot of doctors for the because he was sick.
Did but, you name the first baby?
Yes, it's Santiago.
Santiago.
It was a boy. Yeah.
I'm guessing the ending was hard. How did it end for Santiago?
Okay. He died in August 24th in 2017. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you went to the wedding? Okay, I was married from Santiago.
Pregnant.
I was pregnant. With Santiago. It was like 3 weeks later because the wedding was at the beginning of August, I think.
July, I think.
It was July?
July, I think.
Ah, okay. July,
because
August?
By August, I would have to be back.
Ah, okay, okay. So it was like in July. So it was like 1 month later. So I remember that in the morning, it was like 4 a.m.
So you guys were going through that at that time.
Yes.
Wow. 5 months.
It was like 7 months because Santiago was born with 8 months pregnant, okay. 8 months and a half.
Okay.
So it was Thursday, I remember, and I have pain, like three hours contractions, exactly. Okay. So in that day, I remember that I said to Javier, okay, we need to have ultrasounds because I was so like tired and I felt something different. So, and we went to the hospital and it was another doctor that made the ultrasounds. And the doctor says, okay, there are no signos vitales.
There are no signs of life.
Exactly.
Wow.
Okay, when that happens, I mean, we knew that that could happen.
It's
okay?
Probably.
Exactly. Right. But the only thing that I wanted to do is I talked to the doctor and said, okay, I want to have a normal labor. Because if I had, it's correct to say normal labor?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So because if I had cesárea,
a C-section? Caesar,
yeah. I mean, I could not attend to the funeral. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I wanted to have a normal labor. He said, okay. So and then we went to the hospital. And it was a normal labor. Mm. It was a little hard because the baby already died inside of me. Mm-hmm. So I had to do all of everything. So and when the baby went out, I mean, I just wanted to say if it was a boy because I felt that it was a boy. In Antonella, I felt that it was a girl. Wow. Yes. So and yes, it was a boy. He died inside of me. Mm. And that was Thursday. And then it was a little hard because we went out from the hospital with that. Mm-hmm. Como una tumba, ¿no?
Yeah, with the coffin.
This is so hard part because we expect when you went to pregnant at the hospital, you expect go out to the baby. Mm-hmm. Then in my case, I use a little...
A coffin.
Yeah.
A
coffin.
And then you had a funeral.
And go to the funeral.
Wow.
And then back to our home.
Well, it was not funeral. It was, we went to the enterrarlo.
Cemetery.
A funeral?
Cemetery.
Okay.
A burial.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that was, so you were, like you were saying, the lowest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then how long before Antonella?
It's, after this, we receive a different news about that because the doctor says you can make a different exams to check if you have a problem. Mm. I mean, be together and you put a situation in a baby. Mm-hmm. So we was in this process.
We never did any test. I was like, no, I don't want to do any test.
It was a hard time.
Yes, it was a hard time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It was a little hard.
And we didn't think in that moment, says, okay, so we want to have another baby. So, but 6 or 7 months later?
Yes.
7 months later, so she feel different again. And so it's like, okay, we make it a test. And that moment, we don't have money.
We don't have a financial stability in that time because we didn't have...
Because we lost the job. Yeah.
Job was gone.
Yes.
Were you working?
And I working, but I dedicate a lot of time for her because
to take care of her.
Yes. So in that moment, I remember we have a bad situation, financial situation, and we decide, and she going to back to United States to work.
Yes, I remember that I was going to go to my family in Nevada, and I said, okay, I will come here to work. Okay, I mean, I'm a citizen, so I can do that. So I said, okay, we will do that. But my mom and my dad says no. Because if you are a couple, you cannot separate and everything. And
Mom and dad said
My father and my mom.
Good counsel.
No, it was very funny. I remember that it was a Sunday. And we decided, okay, we need to talk to you. I knew that my parents will say that. Okay, I knew. But they are
advisors in the church. Like a marriage advisor.
Yeah, counselor. Exactly. So, and I remember that we said, okay, we are going to, well, we said, okay, we need to talk to you. And we told them, okay, we have a bad situation. And we decided, we didn't ask. We just said, we decided that Jennifer is going to go to the States maybe 2 months and I will stay here. Because he cannot come, because he cannot work. So, and we will do that. And they say, no. And I remember Javier said, okay, just God can change this. Okay. And my mom says, okay, that was Sunday. That day on Sunday, I told Javier, no, I need to do a test because I feel different.
A pregnant test.
That day, exactly that day. So, and we do the test and we were pregnant.
Okay.
And we say, okay, so we will not move. We will not go to the States.
Just change.
Yes, exactly. Because my mom said, okay. We say that, okay, just God can change this because we already made the decision, the plans, our plans. And exactly, God changed the plans.
It was very funny because in the first baby, we have stability. Economic. So we think in different things. Yeah, we say we
thought that we were ready
in this hospital with this doctor with these conditions, but in this Antonella came in a bad situation. So I mean, it's
we did
like
not feel ready.
No. Yeah,
we are
exactly.
Not ready.
I mean, we really wanted to have a baby, okay? Because it was very hard because we work with kids, okay? Our ministry is about kids, okay? So to see the other kids and I didn't have mine, it was a little hard. I mean, we really want Antonella, but we knew that it was not like, if we talk about financial way, it's not, it wasn't the good time, okay?
And we during the whole pregnancy, the Antonella, we pray about that.
Yes.
God, don't repeat this situation. And I think now, in that moment, we have a conversation. Every time God says, I'm in control. Dios estaba diciendo eso. God says, I'm in control the whole situation. And during the 9 months, so Antonella was good. Every doctor says, no, she's good. One different test made for her, the doctor says everything is good. So one day we pray in Summit Church in Nevada. We pray together, and I cry a lot of, and I said, God, what I have a fear? ¿Por qué tengo miedo?
Yeah, why am I afraid?
What am I afraid? And God, I remember a peace in my heart and say, everything is okay. So just trust in me. And I really, that moment, I remember the cry. And that moment, I mean, I feel a peace in my heart. In the point, a friend in New York, she invited me to preach in the, you know, Nevada to New York.
Oh, but I think that we need to say something. We were in El Salvador, and then we decided to come here to have Antonella. Okay, so we were here in July.
Yeah,
July. Antonella was born in September with my family. As I say that, I have a big family in Nevada. So I was with them. And Javier was here too, like for 3 months. And in that time, a friend of him invited him to preach In New York.
New York. Okay.
And we were in Nevada. Uh-huh. I mean, like, uh-huh. Yes.
Extremo, extremo. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So when I said, okay, I'm going to preach, and she said, nope, you stay because Antonella came, ¿cómo se dice?
How many times?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. And I said, okay, it's fine. If Antonella come, Jesus take care for her. I'm going to preach and talking about Jesus. So bad comment. So for me, I mean, and I went to the New York to preach. So when I
drop off
in the airport, my friend says, "Hey, your wife she's called me," and I was like, "Hey, what happened?" And Jennifer says, "Hey, I think it." Today is the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I say, what? So during the day, she was in the hospital, tried to make a condition. And at night, when I finished the preach, my friend again said, hey, your wife's in the cell phone. And I run in the pastor office. And I go in.
Okay, he saw the labor.
See.
In a video call.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. In a video call, she said
after preaching.
But
the thing, it was very funny because when he said, okay, someone invite me to preach, I was like, okay, you come from El Salvador to see the labor, right? So and then I said okay. At the beginning I was like no, but and then I said it's okay. But you know what? The thing is that Antonella, I mean, he was not supposed to born that day.
Week.
He was going to born
2 or 3 weeks later.
Like no, 1 week later. Oh, 1 week later.
So she was 1 week early.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So but the thing is that we talked to the doctor and we said okay. Do you think that Antonella is coming this weekend? And he said, no, don't worry. Because we had an appointment like 3 yeah. days before. And she said, no, don't worry. She's not coming. And blah, blah, blah. No, you can go to New York. Like, and he said, ah, okay. So I was like, nice. And I remember the day that we went to the airport and I remember that he said, he talked to Antonella. I said, okay, wait for me and blah, blah, blah. And then I said, ah, okay. But I was so nice that day. And I just remember that I watched a serie on Netflix until 1 a.m. I said, no, the next day I will finish. And then at 5 a.m., I start like having the same pain like that I had with Santiago. So I said, okay, today is the day. Because I already knew I had just like experience, okay, yeah. like this. So I say, no, this is the day. So, and then Javier says, no, maybe not. Go and take a shower. And also my family, no, don't worry. And I said, no, I know that today is the day. Nobody like, believe me. but and then the whole day I was in labor, but exactly at 9, Javier was preaching and I just start in labor. Mm. But the nurses, I remember that they were asking about the dad, right? Mm. So, and I said, and I explained this, okay, the dad is in New York and is, because at the beginning it was to record, but and then they say, no, we cannot record because that was the policy of the hospital.
Oh, no.
And they say, you cannot record, but if you want, you can make a video call. And I say, oh, okay, nice. We can make a video call. And that's why they were making a video call. But the thing is that I was just, no. I mean, Antonella was like, I felt that Antonella was going out and Javier was preaching. And I said, no, okay, I need a doctor. And the nurse, no, but the dad. And I said, no, I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. So, and I remembered that I was like pushing. And Antonella never went out. And exactly when Javier was in front of the phone, Antonella went out. Mm-hmm. I was like, seriously? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
It was nice. But it's a situation got used to remind you and says, I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
And this Antonella is the same. We remember through the Antonella the hand of the God in our life.
Yes.
Mm.
And he, in every step, for example, after this, Antonella was 2 years And God moved us to move to Texas, to Rio Grande. Mm.
How old is Antonella now?
Now he's five.
Now five.
Five, mm-hmm. Okay.
She was two when she comes.
And did you move?
I didn't realize she was so young still. She's only five.
No, she's only five.
Okay. So, and what's another thing in this? It's another adventure. And God remind throw to the Antonella he's in control. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult part because I can remind I can remember the financial situation that moment, but God every month he provide for the different things, the doctor, yes, the medicine, the food, the different things. Mm-hmm. So we are not rich, but actually We can say God every time he provide for different things.
Yes.
Mm. He surprised us in different part of our life and our marriage. Mm.
Praise yes. the Lord.
Praise yes.
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we should be done. But okay. I want you to because we've gone past the time. But I want you to share just briefly about your ministry in El Salvador, because I know that is big in your heart.
Yeah.
I think the shirt, right, yes, goes with it?
Yes.
Okay.
There says Populi Palabra. Yeah.
Is there a verse? Is it a verse on the back?
Yes.
What is the verse?
Matthew 26:39. Señor, pero no sea lo que yo quiero, sino lo que quieres tú. It's
not what I want, uh-huh, or not what my will, uh-huh, but your will.
Uh-huh. It's done. A Christ uh-huh praying the Getsemani.
Okay.
So our ministry is a sport ministry. We start in 2013, and we start with the eight people.
The same year boys. You got married?
Yes. 2-3 months before to be married.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just a few months before getting married.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, we start, and in the beginning, it was a homeschool. I mean, in the homework, un maestro, Roberto Montoya, the teacher, he said, you need to make a homework, one activity, and it has an impact in the society, in the your neighborhood, and okay, try to
what
share
do you mean
the
by
gospel.
Homework?
Homework in okay the university.
He was studying
so you
theology.
Were studying.
Yes. Yes.
Was your assignment.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It was an assignment
for the class.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To exactly start something that would impact your neighborhood. Uh-huh. Your
exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I received a C in my project. Because it's so funny because I focus in my homework.
Uh-huh.
And when the teacher says, you need to collect the information or datos, database.
Yeah.
So I really made it.
Yeah. You know?
So, and I said, teacher, I didn't finish my homework because I collect the different information. I say, no. So, and I receive a bad
grade.
Great. And another student received an A+ because they create supposed to.
So like it was like an imaginary.
Just
exactly.
You were actually doing it.
Real.
Exactly.
Doing everything. Uh-huh. And now it's still going.
Yes.
And now I think it's my project or my ministry is the unique is alive. And another it's just the imagine, but it's fine. It's my friend Roberto Montoya. But this is the homework, eight people. And I said, okay, we're going to play soccer, but I can share the message. And mm-hmm they said, yes, the next week. So this is the start. But then the team or the meeting was grew. And then we make a different activities. We share or we try to teach, love God. You need to love God. But and 1 year later, I said, okay, I need to share or teach, you need to love the people. Mm. So we create a ministries inside. Mm. So all athletes are volunteers in the hospital, give a food, give a preach, give a different things.
All the people
in the local post. Yeah, mm-hmm, are volunteers.
All your volunteers.
The sports, mm-hmm, the experiments,
uh-huh,
they are volunteers too. Uh-huh. And we go to the hospital,
hmm,
and share food and share the gospel and share.
How many volunteers normally are working with you?
In a big activity, for example, in January, we celebrate a 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
And And we, I think it's like 25 volunteers.
25?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably.
What are the ages of the kids that you are working
different
with?
Different areas. For ages. For example, for the hospital ministry, we have a people collect the food. It is adult people. We have a people to prepare the food. Uh-huh. It's our moms or grandmas.
Yeah,
they are prepared the
or
food.
The moms of the
volunteers.
The teenagers.
The core of the ministry, the core of the ministry is, or of the activity of it is sports.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That is like teenagers, I think.
Yes.
Teenagers. Yes, like 15 to 20 something.
25.
Exactly.
That's older. 25 is.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sports club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, and another part of the volunteer, they go into the serve the food.
Yeah.
So we go into the homeless people, to the hospital. We make a soccer school. Before to the pandemic, we has a six school, soccer school in different areas. And for the reason, the violence or the gangs, we can move and put in another people in another place. So we went to attend to the place. So, and they say, hey, I'm going to work with the kid here. And we make a soccer club or soccer school. And they're moving another place and over there.
So they were
moving it around.
No, they were different
neighborhood,
different schools, sports schools in different neighbors.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For security.
Mm-hmm.
How is it help with security having them in different places?
Ah, okay.
They
were in El Salvador. There were some gangs that they feel like the neighborhood belongs to them, okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
So, and also the people.
Uh-huh.
So there were some people who lived in a specific area. Yeah. That happened most of the time with teenagers and with boys.
Uh-huh.
So this boy that live here cannot move to another neighborhood because the gangs is different from here to here.
Mm-hmm. He has to stay in
exactly because the gangs thinks that this is like they will go to see and tell to the other gangs. Uh-huh. So that's why in that time it was a little hard to move the kids. Mm-hmm. So Javier prefers to do
start a different school.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And gangs are targeting young, like teenagers,
mm-hmm.
for
exactly
recruiting or for controlling them.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they use, now it's a little different, but for the different programs. But in that time, I mean, 5 years ago, was very hard to move people. So
I remember when I was there,
mm-hmm.
there is a guard in front of every store.
Yeah.
Like all businesses, mm-hmm. all stores, the parks.
Mm-hmm.
There was someone with a gun
guard
protecting every single place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some places are most difficult in compared to another part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the area we serve was a very different.
It's a risky area.
It's a risky area, yeah.
So this is this ministry has gone on for 10 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you seen what is the most exciting fruit that you have seen from the ministry so far? Do you know anyone like when you started who was 15, who now is 25 and their life is different now?
I have a lot of, but the most thing is that now we are here, but they are running the ministry in El Salvador without us.
The ministry continues.
The ministry keep it walk without us.
Uh-huh.
So this is the best part, I think.
But I think that Billy is asking testimony. About testimony. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. About testimony. For example, one guy, he lost the last year in high school for 3 years. He lost the year, and the family, and he himself, he lost, ya no creían en él.
He lost, like he did not pass the school
for 3 years. 3 years.
So, and the family lost confidence.
Yes,
exactly.
Like he, and he himself is the same. And we share the gospel. He decided to follow Jesus, and he keeping on. And he decided to return to the school. You know what? It's difficult because it's a 4 year. So in the 4 years, he made the change. Jesus changed him life. And now he graduate. He was a volunteer in the school. He stayed like a tutor in the high school for the another people. And he decided went to the university to study football.
Wow.
And all the it's like coach or professor.
Yeah.
Yes. PhD coach.
Physical education.
Physical education.
So he decided to follow the dream, now new dream, new life. And he graduated to the university and now is a professional football player in futsal. For indoor soccer.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
As a testimony, he's a coach, he's a professor in different places, and he is graduating the university, and now he encouraged another people to follow.
But when he started with how is your ministry called?
Football y Palabra.
Okay. When he started with soccer and the gospel, he was already, he was not even in high school. He could not get through high school. And Jesus changed his life.
Yes.
He finished high school. And the Lord has led him on to where he is now.
Yes.
Yep. And I was a coach.
Now and you get to see that. You get to see all those lives like being changed.
I just say praise the Lord for this situation. And different testimony. So this is one I remember. But another another things we said, praise the Lord, is when I saw the people assume my responsibilities for the family, for the job, for the studies. We have a big generation into these years, and they decide to follow education, to follow Christ, to follow, get a job, and take a good decision. So it's a nice. Praise the Lord for this.
You guys graduate in December.
Yeah.
Yes.
Both of you together.
Yes.
Yep.
Where are you going next?
Our heart is return to El Salvador.
Yes.
But we want to return to Football y Palabra, but now we want to make a planting church. Because now we has a ministry, but it's outside to the church. Is it on the street, on the soccer field? But now we want to make a planting church. But we know that some are disciples. They are ready to go. So we want to be a mobilizer. And we want to send people. I know that they are ready. So just didn't know the opportunities to go or where is the place.
You're graduating in December, but your plan is this summer be in El Salvador.
Yes.
Will you be with this ministry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, okay. Who knows what the Lord will do in 10 more years?
Yeah.
I know you guys wanted to be in Jordan this summer.
Oh,
yes. Able to.
Yes.
But maybe later.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely. Yes.
Because that ministry that you're doing in El Salvador is what the young people in Jordan need too. And there are believers there. You know, there was one Christian coach there.
Yeah.
And he was teaching soccer, had the little soccer. But I think that is like the next level of what God could do through this ministry.
Yes.
Okay. Man, exciting stuff. All right. Thank you guys for sharing.
Thank you.
You wanted to keep it, what, 5 minutes? We're going like two hours now? Okay. Thank you.
No, thank you, Billy. Thank you.
Yeah.